But Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Guys, we are back from Easter, and I hope that last week, if you had a chance to join us, that you were just absolutely blessed by the Easter celebration that took place here at St. Peter's and throughout churches worldwide. You know, Easter is by far the biggest day. Biggest day of the year for Christians. We oftentimes think Christmas is because we spend like an entire month getting ready for it and we do presents and all that kind of stuff. But if Jesus is born, that's pretty impressive. But it doesn't mean a whole lot until he dies and he rises from the dead. That's what our faith is based on. That's the foundation. In fact, the Apostle Paul says, if Christ has not risen, then everything we believe is pointless and futile. It doesn't matter. So I hope that you had just a wonderful, wonderful celebration of our Lord's resurrection. Today we are moving forward from Easter, not leaving Easter behind, but we're moving forward. And we're starting a new series called Resurrection Power. And back on Palm Sunday 2 weeks ago, we started tracing with Jesus and his disciples in their footsteps. We've just kind of been following them along and experiencing everything that led up to the resurrection. In this series, we're going to be doing the same thing. We're going to be tracking with Jesus and his disciples, following them along as they experience the resurrection firsthand. And we're going to be experiencing it for ourselves, learning what his power and his resurrection means for us here today. Now, as we jump into our scripture reading today from John, we're a full week out from Easter. And John picks up actually on the first day of Easter. And I wonder how back to normal your life has gotten in the last week. I know in church work for us pastors and worship leaders and all the staff, we have what's called an Easter hangover, where we wake up on Monday morning and we're like, whoa, what just happened, right? But then life kicks in because there's Monday morning and the grind starts and you get back to it. How back to normal is your life? 1 week later, that's where we're at. But in our gospel reading, John actually picks up that very Easter day. And before we jump into it in depth, I want to kind of give you a picture of how the gospel of John works with the account of the resurrection, because it's a little bit different than everybody else. You see, John's account starts in the dark. He has Mary Magdalene and the other women going to the tomb, not in the daytime, not in the early morning when the sun is up. Like, I think of early morning like 7 a.m. Like, anything before that, it's still dark and night for me. That's what it was. It was pre-dawn darkness as the women came to the tomb. And John's account focuses in on Mary, and it's dark for a purpose. Because at this point, Mary doesn't know what's happened. She's still living in the darkness of Good Friday, of the crucifixion of Jesus. And she comes to the tomb and she discovers that it's empty. And immediately she runs back to the disciples and she tells Peter and John, you've got to come see this. And they take off again in the dark. And they get to the tomb and John records that, yes, they believed what Mary Magdalene said about Jesus' body not being there, but not one of them understood what it meant. You see, at this point, they all thought that Jesus' body had been moved or even stolen. Peter and John leave, but Mary stays there at the tomb in the garden. And it's dark. How do we know this? Because there happens to be another person, a man in the garden, but Mary doesn't recognize him. That is until she begins to speak to him. She sees him, his shape in the darkness, and she thinks that he's the gardener and says, what have you done with our Lord's body? Have you moved it somewhere? And then the gardener, what she thinks is the gardener, speaks. He says her name, Mary, and she knows it's Jesus. With one word, she knows that it's Jesus. And it's probably at that point in time that John intends for us to understand that light is finally breaking over the horizon. Because Jesus, in this first resurrection encounter with his disciples, is pushing back the darkness that had enveloped Mary that morning. So the sun is starting to come up. He's starting to push back that darkness. And that leads us then to our reading. You see, John's gospel jumps from that moment with Mary in the garden, and he skips the whole day, and he goes to the evening. He skips all the Easter baskets. He skips the egg hunt. He skips the ham and the turkey. He skips all the fun stuff, and he goes right to that evening. It's dark again. And this time, his focus has turned on the 10 disciples, not the 12, because Judas had hung himself and died. Not the 11, because we're told that Thomas wasn't there, but 10 of them are. And they're there in the upper room where all of this started on Maundy Thursday. They're there in the upper room, still sitting at the same table where Jesus offered bread and wine, and with it his body and blood. The same table where Jesus knelt down and washed his disciples' feet. The same table where he taught them that he did not come to be served, but to serve. That same table where he foretold every thought, every word, and every action that his disciples would take over the next 3 days. They were sitting around that table reflecting on how Judas had betrayed, Peter denied, and every single one of them had been scattered as Jesus was arrested. They're at that same table with the darkness of that first night of Easter sitting really heavy on them. And John explains that they're there in fear. They're behind locked doors because they're afraid that the Jewish leaders are going to do the same thing to them that they did to Jesus. They're behind those locked doors, doubting and hiding and reflecting on all that has been done and all that has happened and all of their failures in the midst of it. And then in the darkness, just as he had appeared to Mary, Jesus appears to his disciples. And he does it with what I call resurrection power. He doesn't just knock on the door and go, "Hey guys, it's me. Can you open up?" He passes right through the locked doors, right through the barriers, into the darkness of where they were at that moment. And if I were one of the disciples, I'd be terrified. My locked doors have done nothing. Jesus has just walked in. And mind you, he told them everything that would happen throughout that weekend. That one would betray, one would deny, all would scatter. And now here he is standing in flesh and blood alive. And they're waiting for the greatest all-time, "I told you so." But the first words out of Jesus' mouth is peace. "Peace be with you." And that's a traditional greeting of their time. It's like saying, "Hi, how are you?" But what we have to understand, there's nothing traditional about this. Twice Jesus says to them, "Peace be with you." And what he's doing there is far beyond a greeting. You see, that word peace in the Hebrew is shalom. And the richness and depth of that word shalom is really this. That when we wish somebody shalom or peace, or when Jesus speaks peace over them, he's saying all is as it should be. All is as it should be. Jesus speaks peace over them in that moment. In their fears and doubts and darkness, he is saying, "Guys, everything is as it should be. I am making all things new." Just like we talked about last week. In the fear and the darkness, Jesus' resurrection presence is pushing back the darkness. And he's breaking through the locked doors. And Jesus is calling his disciples out of their hiding, out of their fear, and out of their shame and their guilt, and into the light of his resurrection. And guys, what an incredible moment for the disciples. Right? With all the fear, all the doubts, all the shame and guilt that they were carrying all through that weekend, to have Jesus step through those locked doors and into their darkness and assure them that despite everything that they had done, his hand of blessing and peace would still rest upon them. What an incredible moment. You see, for the disciples, life after Easter will not go back to normal. It'll be changed forever. What about you? A week after Easter, how back to normal has your life gone? Are you living as though Christ was risen, or are you living as Christ is risen? We think of going back to normal as getting back to the grind of things, but that's not really what it's about. You see, getting back to normal is going back to the way it was before the resurrection of Jesus. Going back to normal is about feeling trapped and locked behind those doors of fear and doubt and darkness. It's about hiding yourself behind all of that pain from the past and the hurt that sin has caused. Living behind these locked doors, allowing fear and doubt to settle into your heart and your life, is living as though Christ was risen. Yes, he left the tomb empty, but still today I stand here empty-handed. It's living as though the resurrection makes no difference for us today. That Easter evening, the disciples were very much living as though Christ was risen. While the tomb was empty, they themselves were just as empty. Darkness was still around them, and fear had absolutely enveloped them. And what's weird is when fear does that, when it grips us, it has a control over us. And not just a control, but it can deceive us and convince us of things that simply aren't true. Think about this. Fear creates in us a constant worry about what could happen. Creates in us a constant worry about what could happen. And what that does is it robs our ability to see what is happening and even to handle what is happening. Fear gets a hold of us, it grips us, and it paralyzes us. We can't respond to the situation that we're in. Fear also tells us that the worst will always happen, especially when we don't know what's going to happen. It tells us the worst will always happen, so whatever is coming, it's got to be the worst. And in turn, when we see that, we run, we flee, we get away, even if it means leaving or hurting ourselves or people in the process. Finally, fear is a way to convince us that we're all alone, that no one, not even God, is with us. When my littlest ones get scared at night, it doesn't matter if they can hear us, my wife and I, from the bedroom or hear the TV. It doesn't even matter that they can look over the balcony and see us. If they're not sitting right next to us, touching us on that couch, the scary monster will still eat them no matter what. Fear tells us that we're all alone and that even God is not with us. The disciples had experienced all this that weekend. They saw the worst coming in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they ran for their lives into the darkness. They were paralyzed in fear that evening of Easter for fear of what would happen. There was a deep loneliness in the dark, knowing that they had lost Jesus at the cross. You see, living in fear and darkness, living as though Christ was risen, is not what God intended for us. It's not what God intended for us when he broke the bounds of the grave and broke the bounds of death itself. You see, God's desire is that we would live as though Christ is risen, that the power of his resurrection is alive and active in our lives, calling us out of hiding and out of the fear, out of the darkness, and out of the guilt and the shame. It's about experiencing by faith the peace of his resurrection presence and letting that peace and presence dispel all the fears and darkness. You see, Jesus breaks into our locked doors of our hearts and our minds, and he speaks peace into you and to me. He reminds us that all is as it should be because of his rising from the dead. You see, our past sins that lock us up and the pain that comes with that, that causes us to hide, when Jesus breaks through the boundaries of it all and he brings peace, he sets us free from it. And all of that just simply becomes part of our story of redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. No longer does fear have to create in us that constant worry, because we know that with Jesus, no matter what will happen, all is as it should be. He is making all things new. No longer does our future have to suffer as we run from new possibilities. Rather, we can step into those opportunities. We can step into new relationships, trusting that Jesus will go with us. No longer do we have to feel alone. No longer do we have to feel alone because Jesus has stepped into our lives and brought that presence with him. You see, with the power of his resurrection, Jesus has called us out of hiding and is bringing us into his light.